Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. And the third part of the hadith is to fight in the cause of Allah. And to fight in the cause of Allah, as we know, this is known as jihad, and this is done when only we have an Islamic flag, an Islamic army, an Islamic ruler. We cannot have skirmishes here and there, anyone going and said, I'm going to do jihad today, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, it has to be properly organized and under the ruler of a country or a region, and it should be Islamic. Not to terrorize people, not to spread chaos and mayhem in the world, to defend what is virtuous, to defend rightness, to defend your own country and your own life. This is, inshallah, part of the jihad that is permissible. We move on to the following hadith, hadith 47. Do we have any questions, by the way? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's take your questions and see what can be entertained.
Salam. If a person is traveling through a desert and he doesn't find water, so he performs the tayammum and prays his salah, and then he moves forward and he finds water, so he should do ablution and then perform salah again or not?
That's a very good question regarding tayammum. If a person is stranded in the desert and he does not find water to perform ablution, can he perform tayammum? He can if he made all his efforts to look for water and was unable to find it. So if he exerted all the effort and he did his best and water was unavailable and it's time for the second prayer to come, in this case we tell him, yes, perform ablution, dry ablution, tayammum, and pray. After he finished prayer, 1 minute afterwards, he found water. Or it rained. What do we say to him? We tell him, do not do anything. Your prayer was valid. Your prayer was correct because you did what Allah instructed you to do it. And Allah does not oblige you to pray the prayer twice. But this is in the case of a person who exerted all the effort he has. He did everything he can. But if a person is lazy, said, yeah, I know I have to drive 10 minutes to get water there. I don't want to. I just want to make tayammum and pray. His prayer is invalid. He has to go and get and fetch water. Any question?
Many of the non-Muslims I've heard, they have the argument that women are not given rights because they're not allowed to enter the mosque when they're in the state of menses. So how will we logically prove them why they're not allowed or such thing? Because they're not equal or not given proper rights as men, because men are allowed to enter the mosque.
No. This allegation that equality is not there because they're forbidden from entering the masjid while they're in the menses would be also cascaded when they object that why can't we pray? Why can't we offer fasting while in the state of menses? So what do we say? Okay, pray. Okay, fast. No, we tell them that this is Allah's command to you. When you have your menses, you do not pray. If you do, you're sinful. When you have your menses, you do not fast. If you do, it's not accepted. And likewise, when you have your menses, do not enter the masjid. So it is the commandment of the Prophet ﷺ, of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we do not have the logic to talk to them because Islam is not built on yours and mine. Logic, that is. Islam is built on submission, on acceptance. If someone comes to me and says, Akhi, why is it that we go anti-clockwise around the Kaaba? I'd like to go clockwise. What do I say? Well, this is how we were taught. But this is not logical. We can save much time by having different rotations. We have to comply with the Quran and Sunnah. And we do not go out of our way to explain it to people. This is our religion. Love it or leave it. This is up to them.
That the Jews in Medina, they used to seclude their wives and they used to keep their wives during menses. So why not the Jew practicing the law of Torah, maybe,
okay,
during that time? And if they are not practicing the law of Torah, or maybe whatever the traces of scriptures available with them.
Okay, first of all, we have to know that the Jews are not definitely following the law of the Torah. neither the Christians. And that is why Islam was introduced, because they have deviated from the authentic revelation of the Torah and of the Injil. And they added things, and they've changed things, and they've inserted things that are not related to their religion. However, what does their religion say about women in menses? I do not know, because I'm not a scholar in their religion or in their books. I know that the hadith, our hadith, tells us, I'm taking my knowledge from my references, that the Prophet, when he went there, this was the practice of the Jews. Whether it was fabricated from their own minds and they felt that, like a lot of us, you know, not a lot of, some of us, may think that, I don't want to see my wife. So what's the best thing to do? Oh, you have missus? Get out, go to your father's house. Maybe this is how they felt about their wives. So they thought it was a good excuse to kick them out and to take 1 week off. Maybe. But I cannot say that it's part of their teachings of the religion or not. This is how the Muslims found them treating their wives, and that is why the origin of this hadith is from. Yes, brother.
Sheikh, as you said that women are not forbidden to enter a mosque while she is in her menses. So we also know that Prophet ﷺ said that to Aisha رضي الله عنها that perform the Safa and Marwa. Now, the Safa and Marwa is in the boundaries of the masjid. So what is the correct, could you please explain?
Okay, the Safa and the Marwa was not part of the masjid at the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And that is why the majority of scholars say that a woman in her menses may stay in the Safa and Marwa, but she may not enter the masjid where the tawaf is. And up till today, if you go to the Safa and Marwa, you'll find that there's a very big fence, a high wall separating the Safa and Marwa from the masjid. Though it has another wall separating the Safa and Marwa from the exterior of the masjid, but there is remains a wall dividing the Safa and Marwa from the masjid. And that is why the majority of scholars say that it remains to be outside of the borders of the masjid. Yes, brother.
Jihad in popular meaning, most common meaning, is fighting in the cause of Allah. Jihad,
yes.
The most popular meaning is fighting in the cause of Allah. Is that the only meaning of jihad?
No, jihad has a number of meanings. Linguistically, it's to struggle. Anything you do that involves an effort or struggling, it's called jihad. Allah says in the last verse of Surah Al-Ankabut, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who struggle in our cause, Allah will guide them. So any type of struggle in trying to identify what pleases Allah in learning knowledge, Allah will guide you. And jihad mainly refers to the fight in the cause of Allah. So if there's an oppression, if there's an army attacking you, you give them jihad. You defend yourself. Nobody tells you to sit like a limping duck and allow them to conquer your country and to humiliate your people. You have to defend yourself. Not only that, jihad is also considered to be part of jihad when you fight those who construct a barrier for the word of Allah not to reach them. But again, this is not individual jihad. This is jihad of the state. So as we have super countries invading countries for their oil, or for their fortune, or for their minerals, or for political gain, in Islam we don't have this. The only means of jihad is to convey the message of Allah, to give the people freedom to know the religion of Allah, if they were prevented from doing this peacefully. And this is not an individual effort, this is an effort of the states, of the countries, the Muslim countries. So if the Muslim countries are not doing it, then there is not such a thing as jihad. Last question, and then quickly, please.
The question is related somewhat to the last question, that is jihad. Now, jihad is, as you said, to struggle, to strive. But what if some of our brothers, they exceed the limit? For example, they don't sleep, or they cross the limit, they are harming their body, or they're not taking proper meals, and they say that we are doing jihad. We are doing jihad for the sake of Allah. So is it justified in Islam?
No, this is not part of the jihad for the sake of Allah, because harming yourself is haram. Jihad can be attributed to a number of things. Jihad against the enemies of Islam. Jihad against the hypocrites by exposing them. Jihad against the sinners by telling them that this is wrong and forbidding them from doing it. Jihad against shaitan, who continuously comes and attacks you, and jihad against yourself, against your own desires. So don't only limit jihad to fighting, though it is the greatest branch, but it is also considered to be part of the other branches as well. And fighting your desires when you want to show off or want to extremely force yourself for things that Allah tells you is not mandatory. You don't have to do this. This is extremism. And this is ghulu that the Prophet forbade us from doing. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.